This show is brought to you by ERN. Find us online at ernlive.com.
We're back at Pop Tech Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Dorgay. Remember, our show is brought to you by Craftsman, made to make. I'm here with Digital Media Zone's Richard Gunther, and we're talking more about home automation. And Richard, let's get back. I'm sorry, I got you a little off track. Let's get back on the Revolve Hub. What's the recourse for the people that have invested in this product?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So if you're one of the folks who invested in this upfront, you contributed to the Kickstarter, or you ended up purchasing it at retail at the time that it was available publicly, then the initial belief was that you were just stuck, that you weren't really going to get anything out of it. There's a relatively funny headline from a pretty well-known entrepreneur in Austin who wrote a headline that says, the day that Tony Fadell sold me a container of hummus, referring to the form factor of the device looking like an upside down container of hummus or something. It's not quite as dire as a lot of people might expect. If you have this, what the folks at Revolve, in all fairness to, you know, the press about this, the folks at Revolve have kind of backpedaled a little bit and said, okay, well, we are going to help customers out, but you need to contact us. And they're not saying how they're helping customers out, but it's rumored that they're giving folks like $100 rebate or something like that. So it could be worth looking into this. So you want to make sure that you contact the Revolve helpline, and that's just an email address, help@revolve.com, and let them know that you have this. It has to be registered, and I would bet that they're saying it's on a case-by-case basis, because they're probably going to take a look to see if it's being used or not. Like, if you have it and it hasn't been used in a year, then they may be less inclined to give you money back.
So they can actually plug in and monitor your usage and say, aha, you're complaining about this, but you really aren't using it.
I would assume that they have the ability to monitor at an aggregate level kind of the activity that's occurring on these devices and which accounts are active or not. So regardless, if you have one, you should get in touch and see if they can, you know, see if you can get something about the back for this. Now, you know, I look at all this and I think, man, this was a really bungled up move. I understand that they would want to turn this off eventually, that there's cost associated with keeping these things working, because these things typically work because they're connected to the internet and somebody has to maintain the servers that make them work. And if you can't afford to do that anymore and you decide to turn it off, then that potentially affects all the people who are using the device. And that's what's happening in this case. They could have communicated it better, I think. They could have given people more time. And I think from all of the press attention that this has received, we're actually now seeing a class action lawsuit that a law firm is trying to pull together. They're trying to get enough people to be able to file a class action against this. That's unfortunate. And it may be the first example of a class action suit against a connected devices company. I hope that that doesn't go too crazy, but at the same time, I really wish that Nest and the folks from Revolve had done a better job of explaining and really thinking through the impact that this is going to have on people.
Yeah, I've been a little more proactive. You know, it's kind of like when Homer Simpson goes, okay, everybody, angry mob, you know, and they just, and you know, and then things get out of hand. And I mean, again, too, I mean, I look at this as going, well, gee, why don't you just say, hey, as of May 15, we're not going to do any more hardware updates, or there won't be any more software updates or anything to this. So it'll run until it, you know, kind of like the, you know, that satellite out zooming past Pluto. It'll just run until it runs out of batteries and then you're done.
Right. And that's a good question. And I think that that's a question that consumers who purchase this have for Nest. Why not just keep the server running? Sure, it costs money, but you have money. You're owned by Alphabet, who owns Google. There's
right.
Plenty of money there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like those guys are short on cash. So, you know, it's but now Google's probably going to turn on our hubs, and you know, we will have hell in our house now after they hear our show. So
well, I doubt that's the case, but you know, there are other products, as I mentioned, that are part of the Nest line, and I again just want to be really clear that they are not impacted by this. And Nest really has a pretty good history of doing the right thing by customers. When people were having problems with their Nest Protect smoke detector, they offered full rebates to people if they returned them within a particular period of time. When they decided that they couldn't maintain the old software and services behind the original Dropcam — Dropcam is another product that they acquired — they actually gave people new versions of the Dropcam so that they'd be able to continue to use it. And it didn't cost the customers anything. So I think that's one of the things that makes this move so surprising, that Nest in the past has done a pretty good job of doing right by their customers.
Well, maybe it's just an example, you know, a little bit of growing pains, because, I mean, more, you know, there, again, you were talking earlier about the Works with Nest program. So how is that morphing, you know, the future of Nest?
That's a really great program that makes more and more devices compatible with Nest branded devices. So for a great example is, if you have a Nest Protect thermostat, your Nest Protect knows how to communicate with your — a Nest Protect smoke detector. Sorry about that.
No.
It knows how to communicate with your Nest thermostat, if you have one of those, to automatically turn off the fan and turn off any sort of maybe gas emitting device that you might have, because it's detecting that there could be a fire. And it also has the ability to blink your Hue lights in a red color to help you get notified that there's an event and that you should evacuate the house. And these are examples of how these devices are starting to be designed to work together. The Works with Nest program can even do things like make sure that you're optimizing your use of cooling and other expensive services in your home to take advantage of cheaper rates for electricity during certain times of the day. So there's a lot that program can offer, and I'm excited to see the new things that they're coming out with. We know that they have an agreement with Aso Ablo, the makers of the Yale lock, and the Yale lock is the smart version of that lock is going to be newly designed to work with Nest. So it can do things like, when the door opens, then switch to home mode because it knows you're home now, or it knows your way now, depending on whether what mode it was already in. And I think we're going to see more integrations like that with more and more products.
You know, interesting with all of that, I think that's going to our guest in hour one was a major internet security guy. So I think he's going to have more work once this comes out, because I'm guessing that where there's, you know, there's more computerization and automation of your home, there's going to be more chance for your home to get hacked too. So, you know, the security aspects of that will kind of go along with this too.
That is something to be thinking about, but also remember that it's a lot easier to throw a rock through the window than it is to hack somebody's
hack the doorbell. Yeah. Sometimes, sometimes those old technology solutions work the best, you know. It's well, it looks like it's time for a break again. Richard, this has been great. We'll be right back. I'm your host at Pop Tech Radio, Jeff Dorgay. I'm here with Richard Gunther of the Digital Media Zone, probing the future of keeping things all tied together in your house electronically. We'll be right back.
This show is presented in part by Bridgestone. We're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. We'll be right back.